This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Gavin Jenkins is a freelance writer based in Pittsburgh.
So a loved one had gotten shot and was paralyzed. And last August, I went to the trial. So as I was watching the trial for the man who shot my loved one, I thought to myself, you know, I want the transcript. I want the transcript so I can pass it down to other members in the family. I called the courthouse the day after the trial ended and was transferred to the court reporter. And she had never spoken to a family member of someone related to a victim in a case. I wouldn't say she freaked out, but she was like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm talking to you. And I ended up kind of consoling her. She wanted to know how my family was doing. Court reporters are supposed to be impartial. They're just flies on the wall. And the case was over, so she didn't have to be like that. And like a light bulb went off and above my head, and I was just like, wait a second, who is this person and who are the court reporters? We ended up talking for about an hour that day. And I wanted that transcript regardless of how much it cost. And I had been told at the trial that it was going to cost $5 per page. And she told me that it was going to be 500 pages long. She ended up giving it to me for free. And she was the one that told me about the shortage, the 5,500 vacancies that are projected to happen by 2018.
The image most people have of a court reporter is prim, probably with perfect posture, maybe wearing glasses, and most importantly, they think of a woman. Roughly 90% of the National Court Reporters Association members are female. But honestly, what else do you know about this seemingly anachronistic profession? Gavin's conversation with a court reporter left him wanting to know more and eventually led him to attend the NCRA's annual conference in New York. I asked him what goes on at a convention for stenographers.
Well, I imagined whenever I first heard about it, I thought that I would go there and witness the court reporters having a couple drinks and then talking about judges, talking about attorneys, talking about the horrific cases they must hear day in and day out. But what I learned is most of them are just nerds when it comes to the details of their profession. And there's different kinds of stenographers. I didn't even know about, you know, closed captioning and helping hearing impaired people. There's all sorts of ways that you can make money if you are a stenographer.
And a lot of money, in fact, sometimes more lucrative working outside of the courtroom.
That's correct. The freelance court reporters who mainly just do depositions, if they work their butt off and work 14-hour days, 6 days a week, they can make close to $500,000 a year if they're fast.
Wow. You mentioned nerds, but there are a lot of women who become stenographers. What do you think it is about the profession that draws so many women?
Well, I think it's a generational thing. Back in the 60s, 50s, 60s, and into the 70s, it was male-driven. And from the people I talked to in the early 80s, mid-80s, that generation of women who were in their 20s and 30s at that time just took it over. And it was the money. I think there were still a lot of stereotypes back then that kind of work was seen as similar to an administrative assistant, which is not the case in any way, shape, or form. And it was also just a way for women to get inside a courtroom before there were as many female attorneys. And so you just have this generation of women who are now in their mid-40s to early 60s who took it over, and now they're retiring. And so now there's a vacuum.
You also make the point that most of them do not make anything like the kind of money that you can make as a freelancer. How much does your average court stenographer make?
The average court reporter makes $46,000 a year. One of the other main characters in my story was a woman named Jen Oliver. She's out in Salina, Kansas. And I would imagine, I think she was in the $40,000 a year range, close to $50,000 a year range. So, you know, it's a middle-class job.
Well, honestly, I didn't even know that people still studied stenography. I mean, I assumed that voice recognition technology, which is a much cheaper than having a person there taking notes or transcribing, might have even taken over. Has it?
The It's an interesting point. In some states, it is taking over. There are three states that have more voice recognition machines in the courtrooms than stenographers. I believe it's Kentucky, Alaska, and Utah. And a few years ago, Kentucky had to retry a murder case because the voice recorder just didn't pick up everything. And a lot of times when you have people on the stand, they use colloquialism, they use slang, they're low talkers, they mumble, and the voice recognition hasn't caught up to that yet. So a human being still is more reliable. And they get kind of angry when you even ask them about the machines because they're like, the machine is not going to be the guardian of the transcript. They're the guardians of the transcript.
So was there that kind of John Henry competition between the machine and the human beings when you were at the conference?
No, there was not. There was not any of that. What they did have is a speed competition among each other.
So what is the speed and kind of accuracy of a court reporter?
Well, the fastest people are close to 300 words per minute using real time. And real time, you got to know about real time. Real time is this expensive software where you have your steno machine and it's linked to a laptop or a tablet. And what you're typing is shorthand. And with this real time software, it's getting transcribed onto your screen. And if you don't have real time, then what you have to do is go back into your office afterwards and then transcribe it. Mm-hmm. And so the people who are the fastest can keep up with the software and keep up with what's being said around them. And they're around 300 words per minute, and their accuracy is like 98%, 99%. Mm-hmm. And what I found really interesting is they slice everything up to fractions of a percentage. Like the one woman I talked to, her name's Lisa Knight, and she travels the world working for the most powerful law firms in the world. She does depositions for them, and she scoffs at 99.3%. She says that if she's at 99.3%, she feels like she's not doing a good job at all.
Wow.
She's around 99.8%. That's her zone.
Well, although I think we've all seen, you know, in closed captioning or sometimes in headlines, the kind of mistakes that can be made when people transcribe something.
Now, that's something that I did hear a lot about at the convention, where they were making jokes about that. And a lot of them are pretty foul. And it's because each stenographer has a dictionary. In the steno machine, there's like a word bank. And so if you do a keystroke for a word that is similar to another word, sometimes the wrong word gets put into place. And everyone sees the closed captioning on CNN at the airport, and you find the mistakes and then you laugh at them, but they're technically at 98% accuracy.
We're talking with the journalist Gavin Jenkins about a profession that is quickly disappearing, not because of technology, but seemingly because of willing participants. Stenographers, court reporters, computer-assisted real-time transcribers, those people that you see in courtrooms, but apparently are in a lot of other places as well. Gavin attended a national convention of court reporters in New York City. Well, you mentioned in your article that your image of the woman sitting there with her hair pulled back in a tight bun, you know, shoulder pads, this very dated image of the stenographer or court reporter. Mm-hmm. But you also find that it's a great middle-class profession, yet stenography schools have a dropout rate of 85%. Why is that?
The stenography schools are, you know, an institute that are not attracting your straight-A high school students, because there's a stigma attached to a trade school. And also, the people who are trying to make it in the profession don't have the background that suits them for it. I found that the stenographers who were the elite, the fastest there, they all had a background in piano playing. And some of the younger generation that were getting into the profession, they were gamers, a lot of video game players. If you love to play video games, which a lot of teenagers these days do, you know, you might be fit for that profession.
Well, you met several rock stars in the field. Lisa Knight, you mentioned, Jen Oliver, a woman named Mirabai Knight. Are they fearful for the future of their profession?
Jen was, and I think she has good cause to be concerned. I mean, when you're out in the Midwest, the population is is not what it is in New York City. Like Illinois, for example, while I was at the convention, Illinois announced that they were going to have to use digital recorders in southern Illinois because they just didn't have the people. And so in if you're living in North Dakota or South Dakota, Kansas, if you're in a county that is not near a major city, you know, it might happen. There's also the core cost. You said it yourself that it's cheaper. And so if there's a politician who's trying to cut costs out of a budget, you can buy a machine or you can pay $50,000 a year. They're gonna choose the cheaper option. But right now, it's just the cheaper option is not reliable. But the people like Mirabai is safe because she's working with people who are deaf. And Lisa Knight is not in trouble either. Like, she's at the top. She's going to keep working for law firms traveling the world. She did the deposition when Apple sued Samsung, you know. And I spoke to one court reporter who gets to go to Guantanamo Bay and does the military trial.
So what do you think? Court reporting going to go the way of the buggy whip or stick around for a while?
I think it's going to stick around for a while. I think that what's going to happen is in rural areas, it's going to go away first. Mm-hmm. In the inner cities, there will always be people. But you know what they'll probably have to do is send people from the inner city out to the rural areas, kind of like a northern exposure deal.
Well, so Gavin, any tales of court reporters gone wild during your witnessing the convention?
I had one fun night where I went to a bar in Times Square with a group of court reporters that were from the Midwest, and they're from Oklahoma and Kansas, and it was interesting to see them taking selfies and group pictures, you know, acting, they were all in their 50s, and they were acting like they're in their 20s. And once they had a couple drinks in them, they did say funny stories. They talked about how good they are at pointing out liars. But of course, as a court reporter, you can't show your emotion when someone's on the stand next to you. You can't roll your eyes when they're obviously lying. But they said they're all good lie detectors.
Gavin, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Gavin Jenkins, he's a Pittsburgh-based freelancer. He wrote about the National Court Reporters Association's annual convention that was in New York City for Vice.com. You'll find more, including a link to read his article at wordofmouthradio.org.